With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm here. I made it to Pittsburgh. I don't know where you are. I'm happy that you are wherever you are. Just know a lot of effort went to getting me to Pittsburgh in one piece. And now in studio at 93.7 The Fan, my first time hosting a show from our Pittsburgh affiliate. It's great to be here. I'm really excited about this. Lots to talk about in the next 4 hours. And I don't just mean my stories, though you guys are going to die when I tell you the two ridiculous things that I did on Thursday night. you're gonna think so much less of me. I just know it. So I've got stories. I've got pictures from my first trip to PPG Paints Arena. It was a hockey night for me. It was hockey night in Pittsburgh between the Penguins and the Sharks. It was actually a shutout for San Jose. And the Penguins got smothered by the Sharks, which, as someone who's been a Sharks fan for a long time, it was cool to see that. However, still regular season game. Penguins still fighting for a playoff spot. I love the arena. It was beautiful. So as I say, I've got some good pictures and some stories to share. And now this is where I land at 93.7 The Fan, which is still the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. I promise not to forsake Facebook because sometimes I post the pictures on Twitter. It's easier. It's quicker. Facebook takes forever, let's be honest. Also, you know, Facebook sells our information to the Chinese, so I wasn't really sure if my pictures are safe up there. I'm kidding. I'll put the pictures on Facebook. So you can find either one of our social media sites. It's the last 4 hours of our work week, which is awesome. We're going to cram a ton into these next 4 hours. Everything from the rejuvenated NBA and playoff LeBron being activated to the latest, greatest Kevin Harlan play-by-play. Do you guys remember the guy is drunk? Dave and Chris are back at CBS Sports Radio headquarters. If you guys could find the call of the fan running on the field, it's classic, it's epic, and he did the whole play-by-play for it a couple years ago on Monday Night Football, and it was actually probably the best moment of the entire game. If I remember correctly, no, I don't remember. I think it was a Monday night game, but I don't remember who was playing. I just know that Kevin Harlan unleashed this incredible call that went viral, and he actually said he got off the plane. He was worried he was going to lose his job. Anyway, this next call from Milwaukee that you'll hear with Kevin Harlan, we'll do it this hour. It's right up there with the guy is drunk. So Kevin Harlan has outdone himself yet again. And while we're talking about basketball, good news for Zion Williamson and the Duke Blue Devils in that he is now listed as day-to-day with a mild knee injury, nothing that's extremely serious. And yet the debate rages on about whether or not these young men who have NBA aspirations and NBA skills should be allowed to skip college and jump directly to the NBA. Now, the league has gone back and forth, over and over, around and around. It's something that Adam Silver talks about on a pretty regular basis. It comes up at every State of the State address that he delivers. And there are certain reservations the NBA has about allowing young men to make the jump directly from high school to the NBA. Or, if not jump directly, lowering the age requirement. We've heard that the latest proposal would allow draft eligible age to drop to 18. And so instead of 19, it would be 18. And this is a formal proposal by the NBA to the National Basketball Players Association, which is the union. According to USA Today, both sides are going to think about it, talk about it, debate it, and potentially make that change. It's a little bit ironic, right, that it drops the day after Zion Williamson gets injured in a sneaker blowout. However, the NBA swears, well, sources swear that this is not a Zion Williamson knee-jerk reaction. That, in fact, the two sides have been going, and like I said, Adam Silver talks about this every now and then, you'll hear from him, but the two sides have been trying to come up with the right proposal as far back as October. And so Commissioner Adam Silver was pressing the union chief, Michelle Roberts, and saying, we've got to fix this. We can't let this go another year. So I'd love to hear from you, your response. And we do have various NBA players weighing in, as well as some NBA veterans. I actually, when I got here in studio at 93.7 The Fan, I flipped on TNT. I was watching some of the NBA highlights, and then I caught part of the discussion between Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal and the cast there on Inside the NBA about the value of going to college, the value of the education. And there were valid points on both sides. So it definitely is an interesting debate. From the NBA's perspective, their biggest concern is that you're going to have high school kids attempting to jump to the NBA who are not physically or mentally ready. And that what could happen is it waters down the product. Now, we know there's certainly a lot of talent in the league. And those kids won't necessarily play. They don't have to be out there on the court. But there is certainly some validity to the argument that an 18-year-old, an average 18-year-old, is not ready to be a professional basketball player. It is an interesting debate, and there are pros and cons to both sides. And so I'd love to hear from you again on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As I mentioned, Playoff LeBron has been activated. I don't actually know what that means. We'll try to get to the bottom of it when we welcome our Lakers insider from the City of Angels in 25 minutes. So we'll do that directly. But if Playoff LeBron means that the Lakers are going to put on a show like they did against the Rockets on Thursday night, well, then I think you can sign up a lot of the fans out there who would be more than willing to jump on that Lakers bandwagon simply because it's something new and because it's LeBron's latest challenge.
LeBron with 5:20 to go, head down, going to the rim, slam dunk right on top of Eric Gordon. Brings the crowd to its feet, 25 for LeBron. Lakers trail by three. Ingram into the front court, head down, got to him, foul, count if it goes, it goes. Brandon Ingram can tie it with a free throw. LeBron with 10 to shoot. LeBron with Capella on him. It's a matchup LeBron likes. LeBron sizing him up, dribbles right at Capella. Down the middle, power move to the rim, put it up and in. LeBron one-on-one against Harden. Two MVPs. 5 seconds to shoot it. LeBron goes right by Harden, kicking a Bullock for three. Got it! Lakers by six. Inside a minute and a half to go. Harden down the middle. He runs into LeBron. Is that the offensive foul on Harden? If it is, he's out. James Harden is fouled out of the game. LeBron took the charge. Harden is out. With 30 points, and the Lakers put the game in a headlock.
The Lakers trailed most of this game. In Staples Center, they were down most of the game against the Rockets and James Harden and Chris Paul. But halfway through, little more than halfway through the fourth quarter, they go on a 17-4 run, and we saw Playoff LeBron activated. 8 points during that run, and so the Lakers take over with a two-point lead, about 4 minutes to play, and then never relinquished it after that. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. John Ireland with the call on the Lakers Radio Network. And so you did get the extension of James Harden scoring, you know, 30 points. And he continues to do that 32nd game in a row in which he's had at least 30. He also had 10 rebounds and 9 assists, but he fouled out with 90 seconds remaining roughly. First time that he and Chris Paul have fouled out at the same time in the same game. But the Lakers rally from 19 points down in the second half, and it's their sixth comeback this season of at least 15 points. So playoff LeBron or no playoff LeBron, that is part of him being an addition to this team. But I'm really impressed. Now, you know, I talked about these young Lakers who found out the hard way that the NBA is a business, who found out before the trade deadline came and went that they were all expendable. There's no such thing as not expendable. Even LeBron James, at some point it will happen to him too. But the Lakers were willing to trade away five different players along with a handful of draft picks in order to get Anthony Davis. When the deal didn't get done, those young Lakers still felt exposed. And what do we hear before the All-Star break? How badly they needed to get away from one another, how badly they needed to reboot, recharge, refresh. And it's evident, at least in this game, the energy, the explosiveness, the commitment, the determination, all of that, it's certainly something that if they continue to do that, to play like that, and don't allow the outside distractions to drag them down, to wear them down, they do have the potential. Now, we know the Rockets don't play great defense, and so they are susceptible, though Clint Capella is back on the court now, had a double-double with a dozen points and 11 rebounds, and that should help with the Rockets' defensive presence. But I like what we saw from the young Lakers, mostly in the fact that it looks like, at least one game in, post-All-Star break, that they're ready to put the past behind them and to see if they can make something out of this season. And then, of course, there's playoff LeBron.
I think we did a great job of defending without fouling in the second half. And then we got out and ran and was able to get some easy buckets. And I talked about it this morning, what we can't do, and that's turn the ball over. And we got to make our free throws, and we did that, especially in the second half.
So we'll find out about this playoff LeBron. Every time I hear the word activated, though, I can't help but go back to Tiger Woods when his glutes were shutting off and they weren't activated. No, it's ruined the word for me. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, guys, it's time. Let's do it. I know we aren't at this point going to talk about the Bucks and Celtics. We will. We just don't have enough time left in this segment. But it doesn't preclude us from dropping a little Kevin Harlan play-by-play that has to do with a beer. And not only does it have to do with a beer in the stands and a player flying in, but he also ties it to the city in which he is doing the game. This is so amazing. Let's hear it.
Shooting in there is a throwaway. Oh, Morris into the crowd, spilled the beer. And will they cross the line? They do. Morris is dripping with beer. Paxton Steyer, some Schlitz maybe, who knows? He's just soaked in beer in the pour, and it's in the guy's hair. It's in the guy's hair. Your Bledsoe with a three. No. Beer is every place. Some of Milwaukee's, the Miller highlight spilled on the floor.
He goes from it's in the guy's hair to, I forgot who shot the three. Somebody shot a three. Oh, Bledsoe. Back to it's in the guy's hair.
The guy
seamlessly.
Is
yes. I don't know. We might have to do a poll. I'm just kidding. About better, crazier Kevin Harlan call that had little to do with basketball. So in this case, Morris goes flying into the first couple rows courtside, and obviously there's guys drinking beer there. That happens at a professional sporting event. And one of them ends up probably, well, the funny part is the video is really, is the video, you don't even need it after you hear what Kevin Harlan has to say, but it's perfect. I mean, the camera work is great. You capture all of this. And so he's talking about how Morris has beer in his hair, and then he goes back to the game, and then he pivots again about the beer and then ties it to Milwaukee. Oh my gosh. He is the best. Basketball, football, doesn't matter. He can, you know what? He could read a phone book and I would be entertained, but he could also do play-by-play for, let's say, a T-ball game, and it would be good. He's just got a gift. All right, so coming up, we'll dive into that. We won't dive into the front row, but we'll dive a little more into the games that the NBA had to offer. But I got to tell you a couple of stories from my night at PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh. You guys, I totally whiffed. Oh, man, I had the opportunity that I've been waiting for years. And for those of you who've listened to me for years, you know this is not a joke. I'm not making this up. And I whiffed. I whiffed. I may never have this opportunity again. I'll explain coming up. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Thanks for tuning in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
On the attack. Oh, nice check by Brent Burns, taking it away from Kessel. It's a break for Kane. He's in alone. He geeks. He shoots. Stick save. Score! Evander Kane coming in and trickling it through Casey DeSmith. That was basically caused by Brent Burns back at his own blue line, and the Sharks score shorthanded to take a 2-0 lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If there is a perfect period in hockey, the Sharks delivered that in the opener in Pittsburgh on Thursday night, and I was high above the ice and had a bird's eye view. Three special teams goals in that opening period, and I'm telling you what, the fans inside PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh were silent. It was a game in which the Sharks played their best and the Penguins didn't play well at all. They missed so many quality attempts, and Phil Kessel, he's got to be twisted in knots for the number of what felt like point blank opportunities that he just didn't get to go in, including one shot in the third period that I still can't figure out how it didn't get in the back of the net. Dan Rusinowski is the play-by-play voice of the San Jose Sharks. He and Jamie Baker, of course, with the Sharks in Pittsburgh tonight, like I am. And I wanted to introduce myself because I listen to them on a pretty regular basis when they're doing games that start at, say, 7 o'clock on the West Coast, 10 o'clock on the East Coast, and I'll listen to them while I'm getting ready to go into work on random weeknights. And so I opened up the door when I got to PPG Paints Arena. Well, I knocked first, but they were wearing headphones, so I just had to open up the door, take a big gulp, open up the door. They both looked at me like I was lost and I was crazy until I then introduced myself, and they said, oh, yeah! And they actually invited me to stay in the booth the whole time and to wear a headset and to listen to their call while I was watching the game, kind of standing in between them. It was a really neat experience, even better than just watching the game on my own, since my aspirations are to be a professional play-by-play announcer. Well, to be a play-by-play announcer at the pro sports level. It was really neat to watch them work and to see everything that goes into it. So thank you to Dan and to Jamie Baker, who is a former NHL player himself. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So I'm going to put some pictures up bottom of the hour, I promise, and we're going to get back to the NBA. We're going to spend some time talking about Lakers and Rockets and also playoff LeBron being activated when we head to Staples Center about 15 minutes from now following the update. But a couple of things I wanted to tell you. So PPG Paints Arena is beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. And again, I promise I'll put up some pictures. It wasn't as bad as what it normally is when I am entering an arena for the first time. I found the right gate without too much trouble. I didn't have to walk all the way around the arena. Instead, I saved my directional gaff for the bowels of the arena. Oh my gosh. This is so me, and it's so true. I couldn't make this stuff up if I tried. I got instructions on how to get to the media workroom. I was really proud of myself. I got to the right floor. I went through the three sets of double doors, but somehow I missed the vending machine where I was supposed to turn right. Instead of turning right, I'm looking straight ahead of me, and there's this wide open space. I thought it looked like it was a lounge, and so I thought that's where I was going, and I, again, forgot that I was supposed to turn right at the vending machine. So I'm walking through a group of penguins who are playing soccer. But again, thinking I'm going where I'm supposed to be going. Now, this happens if you've ever been, well, many of you haven't, but if you ever go to a game and you're underneath the arena or the ice pregame, a lot of the hockey players, they'll be kicking around a hacky sack or they'll be kicking around a soccer ball, and it helps them to get ready and warm up, but also it's good hand-eye coordination. So I walk through them thinking that I know where I'm going, right? Wrong. I end up in a player's lounge. It was not the media workroom. And the worst part then is I had to turn around and walk back through the group of penguins playing soccer to get to the media area. Oh, gosh. It was highly embarrassing. I thought that I had everything all figured out. And then, of course, I missed the turn at the vending machine underneath the ice. And I go right through this group of penguins. Not once, but twice, because of course I did. Oh my gosh, I'm still embarrassed. One of them actually smiled at me like, yeah, it's obvious that you're lost. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. That was the only time I got lost, though. So I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I'd prefer to walk all the way around the arena as opposed to walking twice through the penguins who are playing soccer. Anyway, it's beautiful experience, beautiful arena. And I really met some great people. In addition to Dan and to Jamie, the Sharks radio team, it was awesome to cross paths with Phil, who is the usher on the media level. And, right away said, Amy, I'm such a big fan. I listen to your show all the time. So Phil, thank you so much for not only making sure that I knew where I was going, that I had all my questions answered, but also he escorted me down to the section where I had to meet the fan. Do you guys remember I told you this story? Tyler reached out to me on Facebook and said, I'm bringing my 11-year-old sister to her first hockey game. Would you please come down and take a picture? And so I did. And Phil walked me down. I found Tyler. His little sis was so cute. 11-year-old Elena, she's in fourth grade, and Tyler told me she'd been screaming the entire time, even though the Penguins hadn't scored. But it wasn't quite past her bedtime when I met her, but we took a couple of cool pictures, and it was great to meet Tyler and Elena, and she says she wants to go to a hockey game again because it's great in person. So that was really neat. So Phil, thank you for taking care of me. I also met Paul, who was in charge of the media workroom when I finally got there, and he let me eat for free. Don't tell. Maybe he could tell that I was really hungry. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. All right, I've put it off as long as possible. I've procrastinated. Do you want to know how I whiffed? This is so bad. I mean, even worse than walking through the Penguins playing soccer. I was up on the media level about 45 minutes until the opening faceoff. And who comes out of one of the TV booths but Doc Emrick? Like the Doc Emrick, only the greatest hockey play-by-play announcer ever. The guy who gives me chills routinely during the spring and the summer when he's calling Stanley Cup action. I mean, he's phenomenal. He's the best. And a couple years ago when I attended back-to-back Stanley Cup playoff games, so I 2 years in a row I went to not only playoff games, but actually went to some Stanley Cup final games, one in New York, or a bunch in New York, and one in Chicago, I was teasing you guys on Twitter about how I was stalking Doc Emrick because I was desperate to meet him. So there he is, walking out of the booth, going to get a drink, probably some popcorn or some pretzels that were there on the counter in this area, this kind of open area where all the media could get snacks. There's nobody else around except for Phil the Usher. And what do? I talk myself out of it. I say, no, that can't be him. If it's not him, well, then I'm gonna look like a total idiot because I just introduced myself to the wrong guy. Maybe he works here and it's not Doc. Oh, no, it was definitely Doc. I knew it was Doc. And all I had to do was reach out my hand and say, hi, I'm a huge fan. My name's Amy Lawrence. It's so great to meet you. And that would have been the extent of it, but it would have made my life to meet Doc Emrick finally. And instead, I completely whiffed. I got intimidated. I second-guessed myself. Yep. I struck out with the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth and my team needing three runs. Two runs even. Not even three runs. I messed it up. So who knows if I'll ever get another chance to meet Doc Emmerich. But there he was, walking right toward me. It was like fate, if you believe in that sort of thing. And I punted. I punted, and then I felt, I punted, and then I tore my ACL on the follow-through. I'm so embarrassed. I can't. Now, he doesn't know it, of course, but I know it. And I messed with that opportunity, so that was my fault. On a happier note, I found the Stanley Cups. The Penguins have a display of the Stanley Cups. They also have a display of the President's Cups, which you get for winning or for best record, of course. But those were in the area where I was not supposed to be, the Players Lounge. So I did not take a picture of those. I just happened to see them. The Stanley Cups are proudly displayed when you get off the elevator on the first floor. And so I did take a picture and I sent it to Chris and he posted it on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. And then I retweeted it as well. It's pretty cool. And they are all kinds of shiny and beautiful. And so a friend of mine asked me, did you kiss it? One of them. And I, are you kidding? I didn't want to get arrested. I was doing so well. Anyway, so yeah, there were good points and there were bad points, but mostly good. If I wasn't such an idiot, it would be all good. But see, I'm normal. I'm just like you guys. I get intimidated. I get nervous. I second guess myself. I do stupid stuff. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up, we head to Los Angeles to talk about LeBron and Harden and the rejuvenated Lakers that came back from 19 points down.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
LeBron with 5:20 to go. Head down, going to the rim. Slam dunk. Right on top of Eric Gordon. Brings the crowd to its feet. 25 for LeBron. Lakers trail by three.
My level of intensity has to be, unfortunately for me, because I don't like to do it at such an early time. I'm a little bit different. But it's been activated, so look forward to seeing what we can do.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Lakers were down most of the game against the Rockets on Thursday night until playoff LeBron showed up and helped to spark a 17-4 run and the sixth comeback of the season in which the Lakers were down by at least 15 points. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. John Ireland with the call on the Lakers radio network. 29 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists for LeBron James, and every member of the Lakers starting lineup was in double figures. Thanks so much for tuning in. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. At this point, though, we're going to welcome Brad Turner, who is fresh off covering this game at Staples Center between Rockets and Lakers. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope that you got your writing done for the LA Times, but it's good to have a couple minutes with you, Brad. What did you see that was different in the second half from the Lakers?
Better defense. More in tune to the game plan and what they were trying to get accomplished. And they made free throws. The Lakers are the worst free throw shooting team in the NBA. So when you make free throws down the stretch, and you play good defense, then you give yourself a chance to win, and they stopped turning the ball over. They had quite a few of those in the first quarter, in the first half. They had 18 for the game. But the idea that they took care of the basketball, which means you have more opportunities to score. So those were the primary things, just taking care of the basketball, making some free throws for a change for this team, and playing really good defense.
I know this game was in Los Angeles, but how did the crowd react when James Harden fouled out? I mean, Chris Paul did too, but James Harden's the big one. This guy barely plays defense, and yet he got 6 fouls.
Oh, they took some charges on him, and he pushed up a few times here and there. And, of course, James Harden and the Rockets were not very happy that he got all those fouls and that they got fouls calls against them. He didn't shoot the free throws he normally shoots that he does throughout the season. I mean, he just took a total of 7 free throws tonight. That's saying a lot for him, because we know he can get 7 free throws in a quarter. But tonight that didn't happen, so they were not happy about that. And the fact that he actually fouled out, I think the Lakers did a great job on just corralling him, trying to stay in front of him, keeping their hands up, not trying to bump him as much as teams tend to do at times, and make it hard for him. And he just had one of those nights where he fouled out, which is rare. I'm sure the next time we see him play, he may get about 200 free throws.
He was 2 of 10 from beyond the arc, so he didn't shoot well, as you point out, though he did get his 30 points. Brad, we heard from LeBron that he was going to activate the playoff version of himself, which I'm assuming is the best version of himself, earlier. But what does that mean? When he said that, what did he mean?
It means that you sort of you change your approach to the game, you change your attitude. Then you started getting to as a playoff mode, knowing that every game counts, every possession counts, every defensive stand counts. He normally doesn't do that, from what he told us in the media, until the playoffs do start. But here's the case for the Lakers are not in the playoffs. They began tonight at the 10th seed. They were 3 games behind the Clippers. Now they're 2.5 games behind the Clippers. And so if they want to make the playoffs, they have to essentially play playoff-type basketball. And only LeBron, Rajon Rondo, or the main 2 guys who have won NBA championships that know how to change their focus and to become more locked in, the word they're using around here. And so for him, it means playing his best basketball of the season right now, and then you worry about the playoffs when they get here, if you get into the playoffs.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. We're talking with Brad Turner, who covers the Lakers for the LA Times, was there for Rockets-Lakers at Staples Center just a few hours ago. How much of a disappointment would it be if they didn't end their playoff drought this season, even though it's a year of transition?
It would be major. I think everyone anticipated that being the case when LeBron James decided to sign with the team. And we can't forget, at one point, the Lakers were the 4th seed in the West. And then, the next thing you know, they were hit with injuries. LeBron was out with the groin. Rajon Rondo, he went out. You know, Lonzo Ball is still out. Kyle Kuzma missed game. Brandon Ingram missed game. So when you have 4 or 5 of your top 8 players missing games, I don't think anyone can sustain that. You know, so despite all that, they lost some games that they should not have lost. You don't anticipate the Lakers losing to a Cleveland team at home, to a New York team at home, to the Atlanta Hawks on the road in their trip before the All-Star break. Those are the 3 losses that come to mind, that if they had won those games, then they would probably be tied at the very least for the 8th spot. And they wouldn't be putting themselves in this real tough position, which is a kind of precarious situation because they have a tough schedule going forward. But this is where they are. This is what they're up against, and we'll see how it plays out for them.
It's interesting, though, because as you point to a few of those losses that they really can't afford, the Atlanta game came not long after they had rallied against the Celtics and gotten the Rajon Rondo tip-in at the buzzer when they were down, 28 in that game?
Yeah, I forget exactly what it was, but they were down big in that game, and they came back. They win that game on a last-second shot by Rondo against the team he won an NBA championship with in the Garden. Fans going crazy. You know what I mean? And the Lakers played, I think that may have been their best game of the season, but then they went 2 days later, and they lost at Philadelphia. The defense was poor. Now, granted, Philly is a very good basketball team. And they have players all over the court that are great offensive threats. But to lose at Atlanta, that's the one that will stick with them for a long time, especially if they don't make the playoffs. That's the team that you just, they kind of gave into the idea that we're getting into the situation where we're close to going on a break. We can get to the Bahamas. We can get to Hawaii pretty soon. But before you can get there, you have to win a basketball game. And they didn't do that.
Brad Turner with us from Los Angeles covers the Lakers for the LA Times. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. How did the news of half the roster potentially getting traded affect some of the young guys before the break? I know they looked good, refreshed tonight, but how do you think it affected them before they got there?
You know, it bothered them. It especially became an issue for those young players at Indiana. And I recall being at that game, and, you know, I liked the story about how the deals were pulled off the table, but they got down by 46 points to the Pacers.
Right.
They lost by 42. You could see it in their eyes. You could see there was a weight on their shoulders. They answered questions. The fans are chanting, LeBron's going to trade you. When you first hear it, you kind of laugh, like, that's kind of funny. That's like, that's a college chant. But they didn't view it as being very funny. I mean, it upset them. I think the funniest thing that came out of it was that Brandon Ingram said, yeah, I heard them chant that, but I made both my free throws anyway. Which was a good way to take the approach. But it did weigh on them. It bothered a lot of those guys because they are young. They're not used to this business of basketball that they've heard about. Because now they became part of the business. And so it affected them. I think it took just a week of being away from basketball for them to finally realize, okay, forget about all that. Let's just play basketball. If the Lakers don't want me, there are 29 other teams that might take me on their team.
Mm. Well, good. So before I let you go then, Brad, that's kind of the idea, is that while that trade may be dead for now, it doesn't mean there isn't something coming down the pike. So is it still the elephant in the room?
Yeah, right now, I'll say no. I mean, okay. You can't worry about that. I mean, he could end up in Boston. Anthony Davis is the he guy. He could end up still playing for the Pelicans. He could end up with the Lakers. He could end up with the Clippers. As he said, he could end up playing for 29 teams. Of course, there'll only be one team he'll play for. Now, so those are things that they can't worry about, and I think they've gotten over that. And a win like tonight helps them move past that, because the next game, how about this? It's at New Orleans on Saturday. They get to see that same guy face-to-face, so that should be fun.
Sure. I mean, it's never a dull moment. At least that's what we get with these Lakers, playoffs or no playoffs. You can follow Brad on Twitter at @BA_Turner. He covers the Lakers for the LA Times. And right now they've got playoff LeBron activated, another big comeback win to their credit. Brad, thank you so much for a couple of minutes. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.